Home is a proud sponsor of KAYT.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
If you will, stand to your feet. If you will, stand to your feet, and as we prepare to hear a word from God on today, I ask that you would repeat our motto after me. We are real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. Now look that neighbor, one of those neighbors in the eye and say, God wants you to be real. Amen. Amen. In the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verse 6, there is a word from the Lord. Genesis, chapter 21, and verse 6. We are giving our choir time to hurry in. I know that's easier said than done for some of us. Amen. I've learned I have to include me, and when I say stuff like that, I got to include me. I'll get in trouble. I put something on Facebook the other day, and this lady came after me. I had to block her and delete her. I put on Facebook, I said, I don't know why I was at a restaurant, and it just pains me to see people my size trying to fit in them booths. When I go in, I'm telling them right up front, I need a table where the chair can pull out or the table can move. Amen. I took geometry, and I they teach you about shapes and sizes and stuff. I put that, I said, I don't understand why my fellow big folk always trying to squeeze in a booth. And this lady put on there, she said, I want to know why it is that big folk are always asking questions they can answer themselves. And then she put a hashtag, you ain't skinny. And I ain't going to tell y'all what I put. I had to delete the whole thing after what I said. Amen. We're going to talk about laughter today, so I wanted to get you in that mood of laughing. Amen. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 6, you will find there these words. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Amen. I'm going to talk about three types of laughter today. Three types of laughter. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Those of you who know me, thank you, ushers. Those of you who know me know that I have a strong sense of humor. I love to laugh, and sometimes my sense of humor and freedom to laugh, both in and out of the pulpit, has gotten me into trouble. It has drawn ridicule, criticism, and even contempt from those super sanctimonious saints who would falsely suggest that every saint must be somber, solemn, and silent in order to be serious about Christ. I've drawn ridicule from folk who are more concerned with religion and religiosity than authentic Christianity. Folk who are more concerned with appearance than authenticity. Because some church folk believe that anything less than absolute solemnness, anything less than absolute silence is indicative of a lack of seriousness. But that is not so, because the Bible says, let everything that hath breath Praise the Lord. Because the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Because the Bible says, praise him on the psaltery and harp. And I pause at this moment because I have become increasingly disturbed at the lack of outward expression and outward joy that ought to be present on the faces and in the lives of believers. I mean, if anybody in the whole world has anything to shout about, it's the church. If anybody ought to be able to laugh and have a good time when we come together and praise the Lord, it ought to be Christians. And praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because we make church one of the most solemn places on planet Earth. People come to church and sit for hours at a time and say nothing at all in the whole service. But if we had it right, I said if we had it right, we'd already be smiling. If we had it right, we'd already, amen, before we got here, we'd already be excited and on fire because somebody said, when I think of the goodness, because I don't know about you, but I can make myself happy. Do I have a witness today? Yeah. Yes, my thanks is connected to my think. Because if I don't feel like praising God, all I have to do is begin to think. Amen. And I automatically begin to think. But the reason some of you don't think is because you don't think. You forgot how you were sick and he healed your body. You forgot how you didn't know how you were going to pay that light bill and some kind of way some money showed up in your mailbox or in your bank account. And so let me help those of you who never opened your mouth to say thanks. Can I help you? Just start thinking about all that God has done. Amen, 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 amen. And so you need to understand that. Now, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand me. Because our praise and our worship does demand a certain level of order. You know, you can take anything out of context and get out of order with it. You've heard me say before that my praise ought not hinder anybody from hearing the word. All right, but when it's time to praise God, when it's time to make a joyful noise, you ought to go on and make some noise. Tell your neighbor, do it when it's time. Amen. And can I tell you something else? You may as well get used to noise, because wherever you go after you leave here, it's going to be noisy. If you go down yonder, And there's this video that's gone viral on the internet of Pastor Tim Rogers saying that hell ain't real, and anything that you can't substantiate, then you ought not believe it. It's a fantasy. And so he said hell is not real. But I put on Facebook, I said, I heard the Dr. E.V. Hill say this. He said every time a volcano erupts, the spirit nudges him and says there's fire down there somewhere. And I ain't trying to find out. Come on, how many of you trying to find out if it's, I'm not trying to find out. Amen. But if you go to hell, it's going to be noisy, because the Bible says in hell there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then if you go to heaven, you may as well get used to the noise, because the Bible says the angels in heaven will be praising and worshiping God 24/7, singing loud hosannas unto God. The angels will be singing holy. This one will say holy, and then that one will say holy, and this one will say holy. And all day long, 24/7, all the time, all day long, noise. So you may as well get used to noise. Humor and laughter have their place in life, and if they are denied and rejected, it will be to our detriment. Because psychologists suggest that humor massages the soul. Humor squeezes out the poisons of bitterness, resentment, and envy. There are a few things on earth that laughter will help you make it through. Come on, how many of you can look back over your life and say, Pastor, some stuff I praise my way through, some stuff I worship my way through, some stuff I fought my way through, but some stuff I laugh my way through. Oh, what a blessing, what a blessing. But I want to look at deeper and more serious sides of laughter. And you'll find them in Genesis 15, the laughter of disbelief. And then in Genesis chapter 21, you will find the laughter of discovery. And then if you'll go to the book of Psalms, the second number of the book of Psalms and the fourth verse, you will find there the laughter of divinity. So I just want to take a few moments and talk about laughter and talk about these three types of laughter. First, let's look at the laughter of disbelief. Now, the background is there in Genesis chapter 15. You Bible readers will remember that Sarah had borne no children for Abraham. But God assured Abraham that he would have children of his own. And by the time we get to Genesis chapter 16, Sarah and Abraham got old. And they're tired of waiting on God. So they decided they help God out. Anybody ever done that? Amen. You believe God was going to do it, but he just taking too long. And we do like Sarah and Abraham, we try to help God out. How many of you know that that's always a recipe for disaster when you try to get ahead of God? Amen. But Sarah reasoned, maybe God forgot that he promised he was going to give us a child. Maybe God got busy. Maybe I did something to upset God, and I'm not going to dismiss God. I'm just going to help him out. It seemed logical to her. So Sarah, you Bible readers will remember, she came up with this magnificent idea to let her maid Hagar go in and sleep with her husband, become pregnant, and give him the child of promise. Abraham didn't argue with her. He said, cool. Fine with me. Some more salacious stuff happens in the 16th chapter of Genesis. Read it when you get home. But Hagar gave birth to Abraham's son, and they named him Ishmael. And then in Genesis 17, God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son from your wife, Sarah. Genesis 17 and 17 says, Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He laughed. He said in his heart, shall a child be born to a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman? He laughed a laugh of disbelief. And then finally, in chapter 18 of Genesis, verses 10 through 12, God and two of his angels came walking in human form and sat down to talk with Brother Abraham. And you Bible readers remember where Sarah was. She was behind the curtain, and she heard, amen, the angels telling Abraham that he was going to have a child. And chapter 18 was the first time that Sarah ever heard God say that she would give birth to Abraham's son. And when God told her that she would give birth at 90 years of age, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 12 says she laughed. She laughed in disbelief to herself. It wasn't audible, but down in her soul, she chuckled a little bit. Y'all know how we do when somebody says something that's just so ridiculous, you say, yeah, right. Amen. She laughed to herself, a laugh of disbelief. But God, having supernatural ears, heard Sarah laughing in her spirit, and in verse 13 of chapter 18, God looked at Abraham and asked him, why did Sarah laugh? Abraham was a little puzzled because he didn't hear Sarah laugh, but Sarah knew that Jehovah was asking the question and that God is no one to play with. And the text says, because she was afraid, she hollered out from behind the curtain, God, I didn't laugh. God said, yes, you did. Amen. But God said, what I really want to know is, do you think there is anything too hard for me to do? God was saying, because of the laughter of disbelief, you must not really know who I am. Your laughter reveals that you really don't know what I'm capable of. You think that age and biology somehow place restrictions on me.
You think that because it's unheard of to man, it's impossible for God. You really don't know who I am. Nudge that neighbor and say, do you know him? Do you know him? Amen. And so God had to let her know, you know me as Yahweh and man of him, but so God had to introduce a new side of myself. I want to let you in on another side of who I am and what I'm able to do. I got another name. He said, my other name is El Shaddai. And El Shaddai means the Almighty God. Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Almighty God? And from time to time, some of us try to dismiss God with a laugh, but you can't laugh God off. And I believe there's someone looking at me now guilty of the laughter of disbelief. God has spoken, God has promised, and in your spirit, you say like Sarah, yeah, okay, okay. You sarcastically laugh at the promises of God, which is a common occurrence for people who are unaware of his powers, a common occurrence of his promises, who are unaware of his presence, and who are unaware of his performance. God is able to do what no other power can do. And you need to understand that when it comes to that which is supernatural, God can handle anything. Whenever God says you can and you say I can't, you're saying to God, God, I'm in the light and you're in the darkness. Whenever God says you can and you say I can't, you really in a real sense are saying that God's omniscience is impotent. You're saying in a real sense that God's omniscience is ignorant. Amen. You're saying God's power has no power and God's knowledge is foolish. And so from time to time, God has to introduce new sides and new dimensions of who he is so that we'll know there's nothing too hard for him to do. You know, some of us think he's only a savior, but is there anybody here who understands that he's more than a savior? Come on, come on. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's a lawyer. He's a forgiver. He's a bridge over troubled water. Somebody said he'll be food when you're hungry. Somebody said he'll be water when you're thirsty. Somebody said he'll be a mother to the motherless, a father to the fatherless. Is there anybody here who understands that God can be whatever you need him to be? And when men say you can't, you ought to give God praise if he says you can. Where are my people who are standing on the promises of God? I may not see it. I may not understand it. But because I trust in him, I know it's gonna work out. I wish I could get somebody in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your trouble, to stand up by faith and say, Pastor, that's me right now. I've been laughing the laugh of disbelief and unbelief, but thank you for coming by to tell me that even though I can't figure it out, he's able. I said, he's able. He's able to work it out. Give him praise on a promise. The laughter of disbelief. But not only do we see the laughter of disbelief in chapter 18, but point two is that we see the laughter of discovery. Notice that the laughter of chapter 18 is different from the laughter that we see in chapter 21. It's different in character, it's different in intent, it's different in purpose. The laughter of chapter 18 is not the sound of merriment or joy. It's not the expression of happiness. The laughter of chapter 18 is not the joy of mirth. Watch this, Genesis 21 and 6. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. This is the laughter of discovery. Let me hear the church say discovery. It's a rare moment in life when the road to desire merges with the road of opportunity. Rare moment in life. The road of desire intersects the road of opportunity. Because most of the time, you know, we live an existence of frustration because we travel the road of desire, but rarely does it intersect with the road of opportunity. I'm going to make it plain. Amen. Because a whole lot of us live on the road of desire. We know what we want. Desire to get married, desire for a new job, desire more money, but the opportunity hasn't presented itself. Anybody on the road to desire? You got a long list of what you want and what you want to do, but it just seems that the road to desire never intersects with the road of opportunity. But there's something even more troubling than that. That is when you find folk who are on the road of opportunity, but that road never intersects with the road to desire. What are you talking about, Pastor? What are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about folk who could, but won't. They can, but don't. Amen. I'm talking about young people who have opportunities because, you know, our foreparents died and shed their blood, and because of blood, sweat, and tears, we have opportunities to go to school. And yet, even with the opportunity, there are children who show up at the school but really don't have a desire to learn anything. I know I got some teachers and some folk in here who've had that experience with people who have opportunity. You know, I've heard my mother talk about when they were going to school up around Sicily Island, they had to walk to school. And it was a long distance that they had to walk to get to school. And sometimes the other kids from the other side of town would ride by on a bus and laugh at them and mock them, but they kept on walking. Because they understood that when God gives you an opportunity, you ought to, amen, at least have a desire to allow that opportunity to intersect with your desire. Do I have a witness here today? Amen. Shame on you that you have a school, a new school, a remodeled school, a renovated school. You've got teachers who've gone to school to help teach you, and then you show up and all you want to be is a class clown. You're wasting your time. You're wasting their time. And I'm just trying to show you how rare this moment was. Sarah had waited all of her life, and when her desire crossed with the opportunity, look at her, she's 90 years old. And there at 90, when opportunity and desire were nestled in her arms, she recognized how rare this moment was. And then she uttered these words in verse 6. She said, I've been on this road a long time, and I thought it would never happen, but today, I wish I could get somebody to say, but today, God has made me the last. See, there's the laughter of disbelief, but this is the laughter of discovery. This is a whole nother kind of laughter. This is the kind of laughter, amen, that when you get what you've been praying for. This is the kind of laughter that ought to take place when you come into worship. You know, you've been asking God to bless your child. You've been asking God to give you a promotion on your job. You've been asking God to do this and do that. And then some folk have the nerve after God has done it to not smile, to not have joy. They won't say amen. They won't say thank you, Jesus. But there's somebody in this house. It just happened. It just happened in your life where your desire met up with opportunity. And now you can say that I've been praying for. I got it. You ought to give God some praise. Break out in laughter. You ought to look the devil in the face and say, devil, you tried to block me. You tried to stop me. But I'm going to laugh in your face. Because God worked it out. Give him praise in this place today. God has made me laugh. But then there's one other laughter, and I'm done. It is the laughter of divinity. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you better take note when God starts laughing. All throughout the Bible, it says Christians ought to have joy. Rejoice, I say, and again I say rejoice. fulfill ye my joy. Every Sunday, some come to church looking like they've been sucking on sour lemons. Long faces. We used to sing a song that said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. The world can't take it away. And if you know the Lord, you ought to demonstrate joy. Psalms 126, verses 1 and 2, when the Lord returned the captivity of Zion, the scripture says, we were like them that dreamed. And then there was laughter in our mouths. In other words, when the Lord has done great things for you, there ought to be laughter in your mouth. When the Lord has delivered you from the captivity of sin, there ought to be laughter coming from your mouth. When the Lord has forgiven you and you know that you're forgiven, there ought to be laughter coming from your mouth. Because you do know there are some folk, amen, sitting back pointing fingers of condemnation at you, acting like they got all their thing together. Acting like you, man, they never messed up and they never did the wrong thing. And they're sitting back pointing fingers of condemnation because they know you messed up. But when God comes in and says, I forgive you, there ought to be laughter in the room. Do I have a witness today? Well, lastly, watch this. Psalm 2 and 4 says, he who sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Psalms 2 and 4. He who sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. That's talking about God. It means that God, amen, is going to laugh. And can I tell you something? When God laughs? God laughs when sinners rage and think they're running things. Can I tell you when God laughs? God laughs when kings and presidents set themselves up to be greater than he is. Can I tell you when God laughs? God laughs when rulers try to take over from God. Can I tell you when God laughs? God laughs when men depend on their own understanding rather than the wisdom of God. God laughs. God laughs when people think of themselves more highly than they ought to. God laughs when people depend on their own understanding rather than the wisdom of God. God laughs when men touch his anointed or do his prophets harm. God laughs. But I think I better tell you that when God laughs, ain't nothing funny. I said when God laughs, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Because when God laughs, you might have just run out of another chance. When God laughs, I'm here to tell you that you can call it indignation. When God laughs, you better pick yourself up and turn your life around. When God laughs, and I want to be like Sarah when she discovered that God is able to do anything. I want to be like Sarah and Abraham when they discovered what was too hard for them was no challenge for God. And is there anybody here today who's going to trust him? You don't understand why it is that you're going through what you're going through, but you've made up in your mind that you're going to trust in God. You remember what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the fiery furnace and he thought that their lives would be ended. But the Bible says they discovered something. They discovered that when they were in the heat of the fire, they were not in there by themselves. And I wonder if I have any witnesses today who in the heat of your oppression, you can laugh because you know you're not by yourself. Is there anybody? I wish you preachers would help me. Y'all gonna need help one day. Is there anybody here who understands that when you're going through and when it seems like you're all by yourself, God will show up in the midst of your situation. And you ought to start laughing. You ought to start telling God, thank you. You ought to start giving him praise for making a way out of no way. I don't know about you, but when I look back over my life, I can't help but laugh because